I went to the scrapyard this week. I think it was this week. And because they take computers, and I was getting extruded aluminum rods to build some stuff. And I saw that when I was up there last time getting stainless steel for the railing, that they had a big bin of computers that people were, so there were a couple kids there throwing all these computers in it. So I asked them what they, paid for computers. They're like, "Oh yeah, we pay like 12 cents a pound." And they're like, "You have to leave them all together. If you take anything out of them, we only pay 5 cents."
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Strange.
that's
They
pretty
weren't.
low. It's like, we are talking about gold circuit boards here. And they're like, "Oh yeah, we don't pay squat for that anymore." I'm like, it's like, "And if you just got the boards, we don't even want to mess with it." And I'm like, "What?" I was like, "I got half a Gaylord of the stuff I've been saving up for years, because you used to pay like $30,000 for a Gaylord."
I got maybe a half a dozen towers
Yeah.
that I. Well, scrap, I guess.
Really? I'm looking for one specific one.
Which one?
The
I've got micro, well, micro centers.
this was the one that a lot of generic servers were built in. It
Yeah.
was about so tall. I mean, down
Not
to the
this
floor,
tall.
had wheels
No.
about that thick,
No.
big wide one. And usually they were real deep. They were for full ATX motherboards and had seven drive bays in the front usually.
No, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I've
These
got a full tower.
are just standard, silver towers. 95, 98. I've got maybe a couple dozen hard drives. And what's the best way to scrap those? Drill through
Oh, scrap the hard drives.
them, or yeah, they got data on. I can't. There's a data on. I can't just give it away.
I would think at this point, I would say, I don't know how long it's been since you used it. I would be surprised if too much of that's worth much now. But yeah, I
Well,
mean,
not a matter of worth, it's a matter of getting rid of it safely
yeah,
without
no,
exposing data. So.
I don't know what kind of other thing. I said, depending on what kind of data it is, a lot of it's probably mute. They've sold everything to China now already anyway.
Yeah,
So.
I got a notice that I'm on the dark web Experian. So,
In fact, when they basically locked stock and sold GE to China, just what the frack happened to this
yeah,
country?
we're kind of dumb country when it comes to data, data protection.
It's not that we're dumb, if we don't know what our idiot politicians are doing in front of our backs. Or none of them pay attention enough to realize
Especially
what they're
behind their back,
doing.
yeah.
Yeah.
Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, Steve.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Hello.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Anybody's looking into buying a new mechanical keyboard? That one's pretty darn cheap. Doesn't come with a case. That's a Keychron C3, $40
That's
ish.
not bad.
Yeah, and that this one was a little more. It's got the hot swap keys
Yeah.
that I'm a big fan of. I don't like these keycaps. They're sharp and icky.
Think I find it red distracting.
Oh, I can see it
Yeah.
in peripheral vision, and actually having
Mm-hmm.
contrasting keys helps me. Yeah,
Okay.
because I really can't touch type.
Yeah.
I'd actually like to color code the F and J key.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Yes. Wow.
Well, salutations.
You got a little guy? You got a little guy?
I haven't yet, but I plan on it soon. Next paycheck, probably. Okay, well, I will give you this. I haven't loaded Windows on anything
Oh, we can just
for a long, long time.
we can go straight to Linux.
Okay. Well, in that case.
if you got a bet.
I do.
There's one little problem.
Okay.
I held down the power off button for 2 minutes by the clock.
Okay.
It's still putting cycling. I go into the BIOS. I can get the BIOS for maybe half a second. And then it goes off the screen. So I can't get off the computer or anything on it. So I'm wondering if...
Yeah, bring it over here.
It'll have to be plugged in for a while.
That's fine. That's one of the things I like about these little machines. They charge quick. They run a long time on little batteries.
Yeah.
So Linux Mint 22 came out.
That's fine. Yeah.
Recently. I have it on here, and it works on these from the normal stuff because it has a very new kernel.
Sure. You might have to keep it plugged in for a while because you can't turn it off. So all you have to do is let the battery die. So the battery's at zero.
Okay.
Ridiculous.
Sounds like you need a new one.
No, I have two of them. The other one does the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
But mine always shuts off when I hold it down. It doesn't take two minutes, but it's about 20 seconds.
2 minutes, it was still going. And I couldn't get into the BIOS because it would flash on for maybe half a second and then go off. So maybe the best way is just to bypass it.
I don't have a charging LED here. You sure your power supply is okay?
Yeah, it worked. Yeah, it definitely worked. Try the other one on the other side.
No, it's this side.
No, I mean, yeah, for the power.
But the LED isn't on. It says it's charging.
Okay, so I don't know what's wrong.
Hold on. That should be good. Check your power supply. Unfortunately, I didn't bring a power supply.
Okay. So the power supply doesn't light up unless it's the plug in here. That's the problem.
It came on. Now it's green.
Yeah.
Which means it's charged.
Yeah. This will not be charged.
Maybe it is.
Could be the plug. Huh?
There is no LED on at all.
Okay. So I'm going to have to... Yeah, okay. That's another thing on top that just happened.
And you haven't peeled your screen yet? Oh, sacrilege.
I just put it in the closet, as I told you. I had a heart attack. You can take it off. I put it in the closet because I had a heart attack and didn't do anything else with it, you know.
Let it sit for a minute and see what happens.
And that having been through that, it does get distracting.
I've never taken
the plastic off like the front of my stereo equipment or anything.
That's the only thing.
Just because they get scratched with that on there. That's your really faux pas.
There you go.
I can't leave wrapping material. I peel off stickers and stuff too.
It says Microsoft and I always heard it off.
It's not there.
So I bought a bunch of aftermarket. Well, we know it's okay. I plugged it into mine.
Yeah.
Maybe it's drawing so much current it can't light the LED. I don't doubt that.
I doubt it too.
We'll let it sit.
It worked with all.
Covered with dog hair.
Yeah, guys weren't running CrowdStrike with it.
Not in any of the departments I'm aware of.
Windows machine for that.
What a mess.
Well, actually, You can load CrowdStrike on a Linux box. But now Siemens runs everything at least a little bit behind. So the rest of the world tells us if we need to pull something out of production.
Yep.
Our current homing is pissing on both sides. I turn off JavaScript, third party cookies, and pull 9 yards, and see which ones blow up and which ones don't.
Yeah, that's going to be most of them.
Actually, you'd be surprised. A lot of them have alternative websites that don't have JavaScript on them. Want to use some of their search functionality and things, you'd have to turn JavaScript on.
So, I just loaded Mint on this last night, and I had made a backup of it beforehand with all of the network settings for basically everything I deal with. If you copy the Etsy network manager configs, I think, folder, it gets the settings for all of the wireless that you connect to. And while it was copying, I saw some errors go by. I couldn't change the permissions on some files, and I told it to skip. I thought I was telling it to skip changing permissions, not skip copying the file. So I lost all of those. But Mint 22 installed perfectly. I backed up my personal settings and stuff, which is mostly across the network anyway. And I did set it to boot, showing the boot, because I like seeing text. But
Mint on these. Warm and fuzzy. Makes you feel warm.
Yeah, it does. All those little green, it's all good.
It's really doing something. It's shooting pictures in your face.
Well, the problem with Linux is you either have a blinking cursor or a solid cursor, or you can watch all the text go by, right?
Yeah, if it's just the blinking underscore, yeah, that's not.
You never know if it's actually doing anything or if you're going to be still staring at that in hours. That's why I like watching it scroll by, too. I've spent many a day staring at the blank screen going, is this on or not?
Oh, that's interesting.
Actually, I got that controller card in, and or a U.2 drive. And it's funny that some computers really didn't like that. It just come up with a black screen and it wouldn't power up. Wasn't sure what was going on.
Well, it is, if you're talking about what I think you're talking about, it's an HBA.
Yeah.
It has to load before some of BIOS does.
Yeah. Well, that was what was weird is because on that, the other one with the other RAID controller, it would come up to the first RAID controller on board, and it would just kind of hang, and it wouldn't go past that to boot, and I couldn't get into BIOS, and I couldn't get into after about the third reboot, it was just kind of hanging on there. It started working, but it was just weird, like it had to initialize. But yeah, after like 15 minutes of staring at a blank screen, I was like, something screwy here. I hope the computer's not dead because it's been sitting in a closet for the last 3 months.
I think that's what happened to me. It's been sitting in the closet for maybe a year or two.
Yeah. Well, that's what was funny. I pulled the card out and booted right up. It was just fine. I was like, well, that's interesting. And I put it back in. And then I came up to that config page for the onboard controller. And well, that's weird. And then I was like, well, at least it's coming up further. And then about the third reboot, and I finally stuck in a USB stick. It did. And I threw Kunas on it, and they act like, oh, that's fine. And I'm like, all right. But it, then it wouldn't see the other drive, so I don't know if that controller card won't support anything other than U.2, or if I need drivers. But I put my 18 terabyte SAS on there. I saw the serial number, but it wouldn't read it or mount it. So I don't know what that's about. I wondered if that 18 terabyte drive is any good. I'm trying to clean my old ones off to pull one of the other SAS drives out and stick it on there and see if it'll work with it or not.
Do you think these Evolves are a good buy?
Okay, I bought two open box ones for $30 each. I think that was a great deal.
How long ago was that? You had the meeting here in Shaw? 2 years or so?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think they're up to $79 now.
I think that's a little high, honestly. These two came with the LTE cards in them, which I thought made it a good buy at the price then, which was 60 when I saw the open boxes. And I opened the boxes and they still had the plastic on them and all the, nobody even played with these. So yeah, I bought the two of them and I literally use them every day. I take these to work. If I've got to do something in the data center where I need a serial port or something, I've got my little USB serial ports. These are my go-to because if I drop it and break it, I'm not going to cry too much. But I don't want to unplug my work laptop and carry it around because it's lucky if it goes 2 hours on the battery. It's i7 13th gen super duper developer machine that just sucks down its little battery.
I think
the batteries in these are amazing. I left one of these hooked up to a phone system at one point with a serial port, and I was SSH'd into it from another place, and I had the plugged in to a power strip that wasn't turned on and didn't notice it. And I went home and played with that phone system for 24 hours and came back and it was going, you better plug me in. But yeah, it ran 24 hours on a charge. The screen was off. In fact, it was closed. But yeah, I think these are just amazing boxes if you encrypt them. All laptops should be encrypted. That's an absolute no-brainer. But yeah, if they're encrypted, I keep one under the car seat. Sometimes I need a machine. I'm building a little teardrop trailer and it's going to get one of these in it because why not?
I found mine stored. If you leave it or not, and just store it, battery stays good for quite some time as well.
Yeah.
Not like this one. Yeah.
Also, one of the things I like about it is it's 12 volts.
Yeah.
I can charge it. I can clip this wire, put alligator clips on it, and hook it up to a car battery, and it's fine. The actual chip that does the charging works from 10 volts up to about 30. So, yeah.
Well, if this will power up, maybe I'll go get another.
Are they back at Micro Center again?
No, they've had them constantly, but they're up to $80 now.
I just gave away a friend of my son's is just in need of a computer. I'll give him that one. Was a version 2 hardware. What I kept was the version 1 hardware because I know I can put an SSD in that. haven't yet.
I'm wondering if there's something up with your power controller. Because we checked the power supply and it's working. And we're not getting any LED or anything. And holding the power button down didn't shut it down. If your battery on this is totally dead,
it would be.
It's no longer a battery.
There's no way to turn it off. So you just have to put it away and it drains down to zero. So I guess that's shot. And I'll get another one. Next month.
You replace a battery in it without a soldering iron? And a
oh, yes. Yeah. It's got a little, but the battery is $30.
Yeah.
Half the price of the units.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's the entire price of mine.
Oh, yeah. You got yours when they dipped the price and then it was open box.
Yeah. But yes, the battery's replaceable and the battery's this big. It's so a lot of the Dells got a 34 watt hour battery. This has a 43. I remember it because it's backwards. So yeah, they go a long time. And it's got a microscopic processor. It's a Celeron 3450, I think. $3,350 Pentium N4200. Oh no, I'm sorry, that's the audio stuff. Where is it? Quad core Intel Celeron N3450. It's 64 bits. That's not really a processor. It technically has less power than a Raspberry Pi 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it also has a lot more development time behind it. And it does have kind of a graphics controller to offload stuff onto that the Pi doesn't do well.
Is that why Windows on the Pi is slower than these? The graphics?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know you could run Windows with a graphical desktop on a Pi.
Okay.
Windows on, Windows on Raspberry Pi project.
We have to go out for coffee in the meantime.
Well, it's, you got to download your version and compile it from the Windows UUDP repositories. And I mean, I was doing it on my desktop, and it took hours to get it all together to put it on the SD card. Or the actually, an SD card sucks. That's when you start wanting to boot to a USB 3 drive. But it's still sluggish.
You're up to $100.
Really? They're not worth that.
What, the Evolve?
Yeah.
Really?
At Micro Center, if you...
see if they've got any refurbs or open boxes.
Yeah.
It's not worth $100.
I don't really know that. I'd say barely 80. That was 2 years.
All of the ones I've purchased, I ended up paying 80 for.
So I loaded Mint 22 on this one last night. Since it uses a new kernel, what kernel is it? 86.6.8.0-39. Everything's recognized. Everything works. There's a weirdness with the i915 driver. I'm not sure what it is, but occasionally my screen flashes black. But it comes right back. I've never had it stick or die or anything. This is running some weird mix of Wayland and X, which maybe that's it. I don't know. But I have great faith that they will get it fixed pretty soon.
They're 97 at Walmart.
Walmart sells them too?
Yep.
Walmart, they don't sell them at Walmart.
Right.
Online only.
It's online only, yeah.
I don't like Walmart to start with. But
I don't either.
Walmart has a lot of weird stuff.
There's some things that you can get there that you can't get anywhere else in the city.
Good place to buy cheap kayaks.
I'll keep that in mind.
The summer, for, you know, they got the best price. You're just going to get just a cheap little kayak.
Mm-hmm. One of those blow molded plastic.
Oh, yeah. They're cheap as hell.
So 22 came out, I think, Thursday evening. I was playing with it Friday at work, created a couple of VMs, installed it on this. And at that time, it updated about 70 packages. So in 3 days, they went, oh, this didn't work, and fixed it. Huge kudos to Clem. He's doing a good job.
Okay, so LMDE7 is not out. 6 is still the...
Right, but LMDE6 should be this now. Okay. Should be this desktop. It's a rolling release sort of thing.
I'll have to go... on my other little one that's... I'll have to... update that. I haven't pulled that out of the bag in a while. It's got 2 gigs of RAM. It's an old netbook from 2007.
Yeah. Ooh, that may actually work against you. These had a weird enough network adapter, the Wi-Fi, that you had to do the install and then update your Wi-Fi or update the kernel.
I'd have to check. I think I updated the Wi-Fi card in that thing a while ago from some other dead piece of.
Yeah. But these now boot perfectly with this kernel. Everything works.
Okay.
Yeah, I've gotten the wireless working on
mine. Well, if you put in 22, it should just work. Or
$70 on eBay.
The crappy $50 network adapter. Just plug that in, and that gives you Wi-Fi until you get it fixed.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do before.
Or the wired one. This is kind of neat. This is a 2.5 gig network adapter. Other stuff. I've been playing with these things a lot. I've been learning Python. I hate Python. Oh, using that hasn't helped me much. Unfortunately, while it has MicroPython on it, it doesn't have any of the documentation. The Python is normally self-documenting. If you load a module, then you can ask for help on that module, and it tells you the methods that it supports and all of that crap. MicroPython doesn't do that. So
that's nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're trying to make it fit on one of those, but you can buy that thing for $3. I've been buying a lot of stuff off of AliExpress, and my end goal is to build my own QWERTY keyboard. So it's a thing.
That project is back.
Oh, yeah. It never left.
There's about 165 gigs worth of Python training classes in your home directory.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
I don't know if it's still up right now. Humble Bundle had a bunch of books on Python a little bit ago.
I got those too. My boss bought that.
Oh, nice.
I didn't give you those, though. I think I forgot about them, but you just mentioned them. Yes, they're in a different directory.
No wonder. Yeah, he didn't notice it. It's too tiny.
What is it?
That is an RP2040
programmable
microcontroller.
Is that the W?
No, that's not actually a Raspberry Pi one, but it uses their processor. I have the Raspberry Pi MicroPython environment on it because I can't find anything else that just seems to work. But that one works nicely.
There's more pinpoints on this than on the Raspberry Pi one.
No, there's actually fewer, but there's more than on a lot of them.
You got some of the center of the board.
Yeah, I think there's a total of 29 usable or 26 usable I/O points, which has a matrix 13 by 13 that's 160 something keys, 155.
Yeah, I haven't had enough copies for me to do that.
And I can take one of those, only lose 13 keys, and run basically 100 LEDs if I want, or a display, or an audio chip, or something. Mind if I open yours up and swap batteries?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, now let's see if we can make it do something.
Nope.
Not that size. Well, it may be more worthless in a few minutes. It does, unfortunately.
Could be more worthless.
No, I don't want the Windows on it. I bought it a couple years ago when we had the demonstration here. Put it up on the shelf. I got two of them. And I pulled it out just recently, about a week or so ago. And it would cycle. Once you turn it on, it would cycle into, what was it?
The Windows recovery partition.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, mine says it still has a Windows recovery partition, which I think is just hilarious. Yeah. It absolutely doesn't.
Did you clean the hard drive first?
Yes. Well, so Windows still effectively uses a file allocation table at the beginning of the drive, and I shredded it for about 3 minutes.
But you didn't shred out the partitions that were at the end of the hard drive space on that EES?
No, but there's no record of them if you take out the beginning. At least I don't think so. Maybe Windows is doing something new.
I've cleaned hard drives.
In the BIOS, probably.
And I've cleaned the hard drives and put them in other systems, you know, to play with the Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And the recovery, you start looking at the partitions and the recovery is still there for some reason at the end of it. But if you take it and run fdisk or disk part, mm-hmm. while you're in Windows and then select its own drop, select itself and type clean,
mm-hmm.
it will kill everything. And I've had problems getting some of those partitions out with other tools, or at least the record of those partitions. Then I just put it back up to a different Windows desktop on a USB drive, but you can't with the internal one on that one, you can't. It's chip soldered on the motherboard.
Yeah. I didn't know if the Windows recovery was just something that it, since they came with Windows, that they had actually just written the BIOS to find partition 4 and boot off of it.
I don't know. Some of those, yeah. And some of these specialized little crappy systems too.
Yeah, and these are the crappiest of crappies. Did you get your battery replaced?
No.
We have one here that isn't booting. So I'm going to see if swapping out the battery will let it do so. But yeah, you can see the battery in this thing. It's most of it.
You ever put Linux on a Mac page?
Yes.
In other words, kill the entire Apple operating system.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ran pretty well. And since Mac was Intel-based for quite a while, it's just a normal Linux system. You don't have to do the Yellow Dog stuff that was written for PowerPC or now for the M1.
How did you deal with who? How did you deal with who?
Grub.
And you put Grub on it. Grub just replaced the Apple 32-bit bootloader.
Yep.
If you want to still play with Apple stuff on that, put OCLP, the OCLP patch, and got it left in Sonoma.
I hate them on this as much as I hate Microsoft.
Really?
Yeah.
Apple.
It's a good interface for really old people and my mother.
Not if they're used to Windows.
She used to be really good at Windows, but she's not as good as she was once. Things are starting to go down.
I like it to a great degree, really. Yeah. I don't like something that tells me that this is what I'm going to do. Everything in Apple is, I think, built for somebody who's stupid. At least in Microsoft, you can get a good command line up on there and make a mess.
Oh, you absolutely can in Mac as well. Mac is based on BSD, which is Unix-y. You can really break a Mac machine.
The advantage to Mac is the integration with iOS. If you've got an iPhone and then suddenly you've got access to your iPhone's calendar, you've got access to your iCloud and all the rest of it. I was given an iPhone but after the a while ago when mine died. So
you're missing a screw.
I'm missing a screw.
Mm-hmm.
People said I don't need loads of stuff
on your update. I resemble that remark.
And the entire music department is all out.
That too really makes sense because they pretty good studio software.
Yeah.
So it's Linux.
It's also the de facto default in printing.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I work with some smaller printers. Yeah, the offices.
It's hard to find a decent PostScript printer, which is what Mac spoke, which is what made their publishing so nice. And Adobe basically stopped paying attention to Mac. And so Adobe software on a Mac is a generation or two behind what it is.
That's for Windows. Probably why I had to find some Macs that could actually run Mac OS 10.7 Lion.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like 2008, 2012 Mac Tower is too new.
Ooh.
But he has this thing all compiled as part of his print jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And his system started making some real noise. I had a 2008 one that I was messing around with. So I sold them that. I got him a 2010 one. He had two 2012s, and I fixed up the 2012 to run Sonoma and MD on an NVMe drive.
Woo!
In a little PCI slot adapter. I mean, it's running like it's a new Mac. He had two of those, and I kept one.
Could you use a 2006 tower?
No, that's the PowerPC.
No, it's 10. It's in 2.6 gig Intel processors. It goes up to 10.7.5.
Yeah, that's Lion.
Yeah,
that's what it's went to. Yeah, I can make it go higher.
You can have it, Tori. I can have it.
No, they're just little tiny Phillips.
Tiny Phillips.
Yeah, I think that's a 2-watt bit.
See what I'm doing.
I just want to see what's on the
end. That's a very neat.
There's one.
One that he can use in 2 months.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's right where now we have a battery. Somebody likes it. It's a nice machine. It's smooth. It's clean.
He's got
quiet.
But I right now, you have the one he uses and another one as a spare. So he's feeling a lot safer, but. You know, Time Machine does not work really well. I mean, you know, it does Time Machine, but so, I just cloned someone's hard drive.
Let's put that one.
And so he's got some spare hard drives with his entire operating system as it is right now. And, you know, it hasn't been changing in the last decade, over the last decade.
So this is the jobs in it, the LTE antenna here. This is the LTE modem. The SIM card goes in there for it. And this is the wireless controller right there.
Okay, yeah.
And its antenna is down here somewhere.
I would like to see somebody get some use out of it. I can't even get a browser that runs. If I log,
I'll be happy to.
Right.
I'm wondering.
How do we arrange that?
Bring it next month.
Okay. Okay. What is, let's see, the next month? The end of July, so that would be the end of August.
I could,
And the
trace a little, I'm not sure.
August
24th. Sure it's worth it.
I have unrelated
hundreds of money. It's been hours and hours doing that.
Yeah, or 5 minutes. Sometimes you just get lucky and find it pretty quickly. And there's also a possibility that disconnecting the battery will fix an issue.
Exactly.
I got several extras.
Okay.
Those I am running out of space.
Obviously, it's worth nothing now.
Suckers. That's down in my basement right now in storage. I mean, it's a nice monitor, but I got multiple monitors and a little desk mounts for my desktop. And we got it's too heavy for those. Those things are pretty.
Yeah, we're moving to a retirement home. We will lose a basement. So I got stuff I got to get rid of.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's, I can see where that's going to end up either with someone in this room or the junk pile.
Now, one other thing I've got that I'm trying to sell, it's a contemporary, I mean, I've talked to you about this, the Windows 11 machine. I've got the data on it that it belonged to the son of a lady that we know, and he passed away.
And oh, yeah, you were talking about that last problem.
Yeah, it's got a Ryzen 7. It's a relatively new machine. It's a Ryzen 7. It's got a 500 gigabyte NVMe.
He thinks it's
500 gigabyte SSDs. 2 4 terabyte spinning drives.
You're used to it.
Yeah.
It's a desktop.
Yeah, it's a desktop.
So let's try something real quick.
Most of those specs is the local draw. One of them has an NVMe and an SSD.
Ah, we have a charging light.
Okay.
The other one
is the battery.
The battery was so low that the.
I've got two of those just sitting on my desk.
Processor couldn't do anything. So that's good.
I
have a line.
If you know anybody that was interested,
I will see. There's a guy I know that
if you don't mind, don't put the experience back in. I'll just take them without that way get into it.
Okay. There are some bags over there in those cupboards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The machine. It comes with a Dell display.
Okay.
Keyboard, mouse, And you total that up, it's $1,600-$1,700. I'd love to get $1,000 for it because I'm not getting money out of it.
Okay. I will ask Sal and see what he wants to see if he wants to do that kind of budget. I don't know that he does, honestly. He just needs a desktop to book to be
it's in a boot
personal stuff because the work laptop can't run its own stuff.
It doesn't need the storage, it's overkill.
That amount of storage is that would be mirrored.
Yeah. If he doesn't need storage, it's overkill.
Oh, it sounds like it's overkill anyway for this a desktop. I mean, versus a gamer.
Yeah, it's a B450 chipset motherboard, so it's a couple gens back.
Yeah,
but it's the Ryzen 7. It's got a
good chip, and they've got good graphics.
Yeah.
Well, certainly.
Thank you.
So it's still doing the boot loop thing. And the reason that you can't turn it off is because it never stays in one place long enough for you to be able to do that. Even when you're in BIOS, it reboots.
Yeah. BIOS, escape is BIOS.
Oh, actually, now it's shut off.
I've also got an entire
plane. Maybe?
What
the hell?
Did you reboot it 15 times?
Complete with a
pretty much
film drive.
It just goes like 3 seconds or so.
Yeah. But I went into BIOS and it's rebooted from there.
Well, you could get into BIOS.
Yeah.
For more than a half a second?
It's about 2 seconds.
I could never move the cursor over to the boot or anything like that.
Are you trading the battery with one in yours?
Not permanently.
Yeah, this is temporary.
Wouldn't that be nice temporarily? Yeah,
another one going on here, but I'm sure I like this one.
Mm-hmm. The crack has a healing. You cracked your display?
It does have a 5-foot digital monitor.
You may be able to buy a display off of him.
Yeah.
His is like not working to the point where it's good for spare parts. If you need a spare part, there may be a conversation to be had.
Interestingly enough, it has stopped trying to reboot. It's turned off right now.
Okay.
I wonder if you had some pressure from the back of your panel. Battery fault.
So I just disconnected the battery. I'm reconnecting it. It hasn't turned back on yet.
It gets some data off it. And the battery had also bad. Screws
battery involving line with most laptops, it affects the touchpad really bad.
Now it isn't trying to boot at all. Let me hook the charger back up, see if that makes a difference.
Hold it up like that again. The back.
Nothing.
Okay, then it's internal.
Do you need
Boxes?
I think it's a scrap. Okay.
Thank you.
You try to get I can play with it more.
He's going to trade.
For the desktop.
Yeah, right. That's where I was going.
Oh, yeah. Folder. Batteries. Still works. Try to use it plug in.
Did you look these up on eBay? Did you say there were $50 on eBay? The E64 the Vols?
Yeah.
There are some on eBay for $50-$60 that we use.
Oh, you do?
They're not new, but they are available. If you get a new one right now, Micro Center lists them for $100.
I can just go back down to $60.
That's kind of hot.
It's back to school time.
Yeah,
that's what these were originally Yeah. Introduced four with school.
That's my battery. Crap, I think that's my battery. Yeah. Pretty sure that's my battery. I wanted to see if without the battery in it, I could get it to do anything.
Does anyone remember?
No, the charge LED comes on.
The project.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And those little computer, I mean, that you could crank those.
So just run it without.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
It's on.
Yeah,
I just wanted one of those, and they'll mesh network themselves together. It's like you have one wireless access point in town. You can turn them all on in town, and you can cover the town with Wi-Fi.
Okay. It should
stay on.
Nope.
Oh, they just set up and go, here's computers.
Yes, I'm I
may have knocked one of your screws.
That's okay.
To the floor. No, it's not.
Yeah, I don't. I can always
hold on. One,
and they're
two,
probably
three,
all with an English keyboard.
Four.
US keyboard.
One, two, three, but four. Now there's supposed to be five. So one of these may be.
But his output wasn't very great.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I believe that.
You can make a laptop, kits to make a laptop out of a pie, but they're not cheap.
Oh, I've seen those.
But, yeah.
And those started with the Pi 3.
Yeah.
Lime green.
I think I did. Hold on. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 13.
It's okay.
Oh, you were missing one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Very good.
Okay, so I'm not going to hook the battery back up, but I'll put it back in here.
Yeah, just lay it in there.
Did it work with your battery?
It's in a boot loop where it never, even once you get into BIOS, it reboots. That's not good. Yeah. It ain't supposed to do that ever.
Could the keyboard be shut?
Possibly. Yeah.
By default, it's stuck in the position.
Well, it's not the power switch. That takes 10 seconds to do something. I mean, that's a thing. If you want to try it, you can disconnect the keyboard. That's this connector here.
Right, yeah.
I have hooked a USB 3 docking station to these things.
Really?
And it works.
Ooh.
So you can do a full desktop with a little.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I love the drive.
If you want to do something like that, this is the motherboard.
Yeah.
That's the entire thing.
Yeah. Not much to
it. You could just kind of glue that to the back of a monitor.
Yeah. Well, how do you power it then?
Off of 12 volts DC.
Use the little power deck.
Yeah. 12 volts at 2 amps, 24 watts. That's like twice what it can actually draw. Well, I think I've been able to get up to about 16 watts total on it.
That's a heavy load,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I ran Prime 95 on this thing for like 3 hours once. Not really, no. And it didn't get very far through the primes list. So fun stuff at work. Oh, yeah. Fun stuff at work since we're going to be moving and stuff. A lot of people are bringing old computers downstairs and outside of my office showed up a Gateway 2000 Pentium 2. I'm sorry. No, it's a Dell G200. what was also what was with it, the Gateway 2000, was a late 90s Gateway 2000 macro keyboard that I've been looking for a while. So that might have to just go away. Yeah.
It had one of the original Pentium 90 chips that had
the floating point issue.
Yes. And it, I only discovered that because I was trying to do, my uncle asked me to do a payment schedule for a $30 million loan.
Oh,
wow.
So that had enough digits in it for the error to show up. Because I also ran some of the payments on a little TI-55 calculator that I used to use back then. And they came up different. I'm like, I got one of those chips. Let's see if I'm going to start doing the test. And I figured, okay, it does everything else I needed to. I'm not going to try and replace this chip right away. So I waited like 3 or 4 years. I figured, okay, by then Intel will have newer chips and faster and stuff. Not to replace it with something better. Then, they kept back a whole bunch of Pentium 90s for the replacement program.
Oh, so
I only got another Pentium 90.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because at that point, I mean, if it had been 3 years later, they had the Pentium 3 out by then. You could have gone
3 years.
Yeah. So do you want me to put the screws in the back case? No. I put them in the battery just to hold it in place. Okay.
Hold on. I need to find it.
Yeah, there used to be some in there.
Be careful. The bottom, when you open it, it comes out with a lot of toys on the floor.
Oh, nice.
There are a couple of longer screws that go in the back.
Okay.
The rest are all short. And it is a tiny, tiny little screwdriver.
I think it's a 2-aught or 3-aught.
So this is quite like opening a Physio TV with 90 something screws around the perimeter and all course fine. Randomly.
It's 2-aught.
Panasonic up front.
You say it's a 2?
2-aught.
Like 130 screws. I had a buddy who goes, well, can we open this up and start changing stuff? I looked it up. I said, no.
No user serviceable
parts of time.
I wish I could have actually helped.
The no serviceable parts, I would be looking at. So I'll play with an PC like you. Obviously, the hardware.
So the Vizios had a mix of metal screws and plastic screws all combined together. They were truly awful.
I was carrying my microwave. They had to quickly switch open the door, mechanical, and the thing got sprung on the other side. I never got around to it. I ended up pitching it. They had a torque wrench with one of the pins in the sun.
Yeah.
All the old torque, but this is one. Different.
Let's call it security screw.
Yeah, security.
It's for your security.
Yeah.
No, it's a manufactured production one. That you keep making
it. And the torque, if you have one of those screwdriver kits out of Micro Center, they have those tips on it.
Too late now.
Yep. Harbor Freight also sells a quarter-inch drive security kit.
Go buy a full quarter, just find out. Thing more than often.
I love the belt. Use the security kit so they don't buy a torque situation that doesn't have that center pin. So it wasn't the thing.
Plenty of them, if you use the right size slotted screwdriver. Not break it off, but it'll span
a couple of the triangle.
Recesses and torques.
Break off. That must be, I've got one that's like a flat tip, but there's like a little hole in the center. That must be for doing that on the security tip.
No, that's called a clutch driver.
Where are you going to find a clutch on this computer?
That's another kind of security bit. That's the ones where you've got two holes in the head of the screw?
Yeah, I've seen those, but the only place I've ever seen them is in office bathrooms.
Yeah,
in office buildings. And there's also the ones that have the little sweep up ramp, so it's like you can only turn it one way.
It locks in, you can't.
You can tighten it, but you can't loosen it exactly.
They make a bit for removing those too.
Yep. It looks all on the whole thing.
It presses against the whole surface, and it's covered with diamond dust. Okay. And you just push on it.
I figured there had to be some sort of special.
Years ago, I used Service Warner's cable boxes. And they had a different security screw than I've seen anywhere else. It's a capped screw, and it's smooth. It is just slightly out of range. It's just a little bit over.
Uh-huh.
And we had these nut drivers that were just slightly out of round, and you had to use that to open them.
Wrap it along the edge of the screw.
Yeah, because it was just, no. What?
It was an egg.
Just a little bit.
You won't look at it with your naked eye.
Since we had to open a billion of them in a day, we took one of the drivers, cut it off, and jammed it in a drill, and one person sat at one bench and just unscrewed all of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then put them back in boxes, and then at the end, we just tied them back up, sent it out the door. But that's a one. I've never seen that one, any of the security screw boxes.
I finally saw that. I even made note of what the name of it was, but I've forgotten.
That's how I have the electric levelers on my camper. It's a wireless drill. I bought it at Menards for $25. That'll hold a charge forever too. It's got like a little phone charger on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just throw it in my tool bag for the camper. Charge it on the way, when we're driving, just charge it on the way in the car. Be perfect for a little teardrop like you were talking about.
I don't think I'll need power levelers on it. I don't think I have room for them.
You ever drop the levelers on it? Or do you just leave it as 3 points?
3 points. I'll have some in the back.
Hey, I'll pick my wife up.
Hopefully she's not happy.
Wow. Go full submitted to about 4x4 the ramp.
It's a lot easier to just cut them off level.
That's not what the lady. Yeah, it's us. It's just we have the water around it because it's been so dry. You can't even dig in the dirt. And when you get it down to the bottom, they still won't come out. So she's got a winch from a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we drill a hole in it, got rebar through it. And so she puts a chain on either side.
Yeah.
It's going to do with that.
There's a thing that's usually called a farm jack that is just an amazing workhorse of a move stuff, pull up fence posts. You can use it to stretch fences. The leverage works up and down, so you can use it to pull things together as well. They're not cheap, but they're much, much better than most jacks. You see them on the back of Jeeps sometime. If it's basically a cast iron I-beam with holes through it.
It's just like the jacks that used to have your old pickup truck and stuff. Except it's really heavy duty and it's metal base.
Oh, it's a steel bar jack.
Yeah.
It's a bar jack.
Yeah.
From the back in the days.
It's got
my old rolls.
Nice chain on it.
No. I think you have my battery.
Oh, you're kidding. Those work great.
No, it Never mind. The light came on and then went back off, but now it's on. I just want to see what level of charge I've got.
I'll take your battery if you don't need it. I think you do.
Mine was mostly charged.
I'm questioning if that's what's all off of that thing. The charge service.
I'm curious that you have two of them that are doing the same thing. Yeah, that's weird.
That is strange. Yeah. They were bought at the same time.
Was there a BIOS update or anything like that?
I never saw one.
No. It was on the shelf for a couple of years. When I got it, I just tried it out. It worked. And then things happened. And battery.
It appears to be mine, but the battery's only charged 66%, which is weird to me.
So you think it drained?
Yeah.
There's a short circuit somewhere.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting.
I'm surprised I didn't hear that.
He's a part of it.
Yeah, it shows it's charging.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it looks like it's your charge circuit that's not working properly.
Yeah.
That was hanging in TV and office that moved. And we had a Vizio 5-inch a room. They wanted to be able to use the HDMI in the darn thing. That if the HDMI input went away, it didn't retain the setting. It kept wanting to do smart tech. I couldn't find a way to disable that. Anyone had any experience?
So you're trying to get it just to be an HDMI monitor only? Huh.
Well, stop being so smart, David.
Well, we're not smart.
Yeah.
More protection. We have a flea market building. And I have 8 to 9 TVs. Of course, you hit one, you're going to 2 TVs came on. But you try to show the whole show, the one that was made for it. The ones that you had to have a internet connection to do all the free TV. I went downtown, went down over to your free TV, came on the browser screen, and didn't have internet. You have one but you even officially have internet, one let you proceed without entering a zip code. You had to enter the zip code before we let you scan the channels before you
schedule
because it was no internet available. But
I'm sorry. Why?
As soon as it found one, I could connect to, I'm sure we don't.
These are a little thicker than what I got.
They may have found some mesh networks.
If you need any more of those, I've got them.
Does it have a cell phone chip in? I didn't have a network connection.
These are nice chips. These are Japanese.
Yeah, that's out of a Toshiba. A Toshiba drive array. SCSI Toshiba driver with those weird kind of ovalish connectors. So it was a later version of SCSI, but I don't remember which.
Yeah.
54, something like that it is. I don't know.
They started out as 50 pill and then they went to 50 pill.
Narrower. Yeah, but no, this is a slide on connector. It's not like pins sticking out of the back of the drive. It's an edge connector in an oval cutout. And it's pretty fine pitch.
Is it about this wide or is it like that wide?
It's the wider of the two. Yeah. I don't know. Me too.
Yeah, the controller card with the batteries all exploding on. I don't know if they're any good.
I was going through junk to get rid of, and we have old proprietary Intel motherboards that they say you can't do anything with this except return it to Intel. And I really don't think Intel wants things with these chips. I mean, and they're weird. They're like there's some i960 stuff in there. Itaniums. I like the Itanium.
People, there's uses for it.
Yeah.
Find the right person.
Yeah, they ran an entire era of IRIX stuff. Oh, well.
I picture from what film for charity.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Intel also had RDIMMs. They were way ahead of a big, you know, really advanced memory at the time. It's the rest of the world just catching up to.
Yeah.
You kind of talking about RAM bus, right? Yeah, that was a RAM bus.
No, there was RDIMM also.
Those were on the RAM bus.
Oh, okay.
So it was like they worked together.
Now, bandwidth is high enough. The Dell modular stuff has a block of 32 gigs of memory that plugs into the motherboard as one thing with like 400 connectors, 400 pins on the connector. So
it looks like a CPU.
Yeah, they're faster than DDR5. It's not DDR6. It's Intel's proprietary stuff, which kind of irritates me. Dell.
Well, if it's 32 gigs at a shot, you know, I'd be fine with that. Just here, put that on to get things started and be done with it. If you need more than that.
It's a black port player for buffering.
That makes sense.
There's new AI video cards, 40 gig PCI 5.
Hey, to me, a new video card is one that you can put in a PCIe slot. Like I said, I'm not a gamer. Wait, it makes triangles? Cool.
So you have a PCI video card?
There we are. This is CAMM.
CAMM is what it's called.
Something memory module.
Kind of does look like a CPU.
Yeah, and this is a compression connector, one of those elastomer things. It was rubber with conductive rods through it. So you just squish that. They used them for quite a while to make the connection to the edge of an LCD. I think they still do.
Okay.
And in that case, it was a rubber strip. It tended to be white on the outside and then had black pieces through it and white in between. And the black rubber was conductive and the white rubber wasn't.
Oh.
So if you compressed it against the LCD, you might have 30 conductive rods in contact.
I think I've seen something like that before. Yeah. I just thought it was a rubber pad.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's a.
Oh, it's a zebra connector.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
informal something or other. Sorry, I couldn't get more out of that. Oh, my pleasure.
I'm not sure if I was in the restaurant. Is that thing alive again now?
No. No, it still is doing that. It seemed to be a bit better when just booting with the power supply and no battery.
Can you get into BIOS?
You can, but then it reboots out of BIOS as well.
So it, it boot loops itself out of BIOS.
Yeah.
You have any time to do anything?
What's the hack bar key? Type of no BIOS.
Rubber ducky.
Your rubber ducky. Would it be faster for a rubber ducky to get around it?
The problem with that is getting the rubber ducky to go the right amount of time after power up to hit escape, hit the left arrow once, hit the right arrow.
It'll be a time machine.
Yeah. But yeah, that's doable if it's consistent on how quickly it boots.
But that would give you the ability to write a script that forces you to stay in BIOS or shoot something running in the background, possibly. To jump or something.
How do I, this particular unit that I'm on, whenever I turn it on, it Wi-Fi is connected and then it disconnects. And then I have to manually go connect it again, turn it back on. Every time I reboot it.
What's in that part of the libraries?
That's Linux on this.
Oh,
what weird.
What Linux are you running? LMDE6.
Anything showing up in Verilog messages or syslog?
I don't know. Look at a log, are you kidding?
Yeah. So two things I would do. Dmessage space dash W. Well, but when it's going to do it, not now.
Oh, it's not time to type. Oh, I guess when it's off, I can do that.
You can put it as etcrc.local and have it export directly to one of the terminals.
See, this is the kind of commands that I come here to learn. What are you talking about?
So in etc, you have the rc directories, rc.d, rc.1.2.3, and those are the run levels.
Okay.
And when it's booting up, it runs. Okay, this is going back a while, but they're still effective. When it was booting, if you booted into run level 3, which was a console with networking for multi-users, it ran everything in rc3.d. If you were going to a graphical login, that was RC5, and it would run everything in etc/rc5.d.
Okay.
There's still an rc.local that has a bash script in it, but does nothing. But if you put something in it and make it executable, it will run. So you can have it start up, and right now, in etc/rc.local, add to that to run dmessage-w, which is run dmessage and wait to see what comes up next, and export that to console 2 and run tail-f.
I'm to the point now where I'm trying to understand what you're saying. I'll just turn it on now.
Okay, hold on. So I'm in a graphical screen here.
Yeah.
But I've also got
Steve, the voice cut out. Can you hear me?
Alt-Control-F. Hold on, give me a second. Let me... Yep, that's not what I wanted.
This is why I come.
Why is that not working?
Steve, what about the fancy feature Windows doesn't do?
Yeah.
Like shut down anything. Well, yeah, little things like that.
Details.
Well, my employer is crazy and they pass a pay card. I normally just transfer it to my bank. But I've gone over a week without being able to access my paycheck. And when I finally...
Sounds like CrowdStrike.
It is. And they've got further problems from that. You know, you go into the app and it says, okay. They're like, well, why don't you just take it out through an ATM? Because I can normally just transfer it to my bank for free. And I went to their app and let them have access to my location. That's the closest ATMs that are in network. And I went to one, they wanted 3.5% as a fee. And I told them.
Yeah, I get that.
And this was the first one, it was supposed to be a free one. And I called back. And I said, hey, you guys, you know, we got this problem. So now I think, well, you shouldn't be going to an ATM out of the country anyway. That's why you're getting charged that fee, be it $1.50 or $1.75.
Out of the country?
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, what country do you bank in?
Yeah, I was like, huh?
That teller was probably hacked and sending stuff via the.
No, I went to an ATM, a physical ATM.
One thing that ATM
from their system.
That or the ATM is going, is routing through another country. And it's like, you got a real problem here
to grab the card numbers and drain the account.
So that's why you don't want to go to an ATM in the first place.
Yeah.
So you're telling me.
Instead of going to one inside of a bank, I eventually went to a gas station where it looks really sketchy.
Yeah.
And I got money without fees. But it's one of those, why couldn't I just hit.
Yeah.
Send to
you haven't account. Seen the fee yet. You checked your balance.
I thought of that. Like, oh my.
You couldn't just go to the bank and get the money out?
Oh no, I went to the bank that runs this and they said, oh, well, our name's on it. It's not really ours. And that's whose ATM originally wanted to charge me the $375.
Did you say, well, then I'd like to withdraw all my money and find a new bank?
Well, the problem is, this is not my bank. This is my employer's bank. They do pay cards. If it were my account, I would walk in and blow up and say, bullshit.
So they're ripping off the own bank.
Yeah.
I had done
a big thing. I helped a few coworkers who wanted to be able to get their money without fees to pay for rent and things. And so I've set up a lot of people's, okay, what's your checking account? Okay, here's your routing number. Let's put that in. Here's your account number. Let's put that in. And I would show them come payday how easy it is. I just go, boop, 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 and my money gets sent.
They won't do direct deposit.
Nope.
Because their bank is what, in Dubai?
Yeah, that's what U.S. Bank does. I have no idea, but... That struck me as squirrely as hell. Yeah, a lot of my coworkers are utterly irresponsible. I lost my pay card, I need a new one, and they'll cancel card 1000 and issue card 1058.
I think it's 58.
Well, you replaced it last week.
Yeah, but I meant in that time period, how many hundreds of employees were for the same routine?
That whole thing just sounds sketchy as hell.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I called the first, people above us didn't understand what it was. I didn't give the exact error message. And so, must be okay. We can't make that error happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried it with the app. if I can transfer what's
left. You telling me yesterday you got at least $100.
I had a niece that worked for a home. I forget the name of it. Something incredible savings on that. The savings on my bank. My boss's corporate banking was there.
ADP.
And luckily we have a balance of $10,000 on your account.
Previous owner.
They tried to push that off. $1.50 fee to take from the paycheck. The joke was my cousin worked there, so she was leaving my account. So okay. I was a manager, Connor. He said, that's the last time you can do it. And she made a little comment. I can get a hold of more ways than you can. I know exactly where he lives, his family, his mom. It was a joke. You could draw out the money out of the bank was in. They call it identification. She said, I can identify more ways than you can quicker. But if it was a bank, it wouldn't have been allowed to do it. It was allowed with savings and loans.
Okay, so I'm running a short command here, sudo 15, or sleep 15, sudo dmessage dash w, pipe that to /dev/tty4. It entered, it's sleeping right now, so I...
Then I just open the text file to read it at my leisure because I can't read that fast.
And you can do that here too.
No, I'm sure you could, and especially if you're just logged into the console prior to running the command.
Mm-hmm. But dmessage and tailing varlog message, varlog syslog in your case, will give you the information about why it's closing.
So did that TTY4 console output, did that get into some sort of log or?
It's coming out of a log.
It's already in a log.
Right. Dmessage is.
Creates a log file.
Dmessage is in RAM and it is a log of what the kernel is doing from the point of boot. The first entries start at 0 seconds.
Okay.
And the first number there is...
Yeah, I've seen things that I've been trying to boot and it won't boot on that particular hardware or something. And I start seeing the time codes and mm-hmm. I realize what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm. So this machine has been running for 5,700 seconds.
But I didn't know how to get it out.
You can...
Or where I would find that. You can
redirect it to... Well, so dmessage dash W. Dash W is wait. Just okay. Sit there and keep following the dmessage log. Technically, dmessage shouldn't get written to the drive, but it does on some distributions. They don't know about Debian. But you can tell it to redirect to a log file.
Well, if I'm trying to parse it out and figure out what the hell is going on, I need it in a written file so that right. I can grab it out later.
So in src.local.
Is the RAM log.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yes.
Okay.
In etc.rc.local, put in dmessage dash w pointing to var log memlog or something. boot the machine.
When I point it, it's just the carrot?
Yeah.
Okay. Like in batch command.
Or you can do sudo t, and then it'll send it to the console and to a file.
Okay.
T is wonderful.
Yeah, I learned that. You taught me about T. I started using that in a couple scripts.
Yeah.
A couple months ago.
But yeah, just that will send it to a text file.
Actually, it was a script for free file copy, whatever that is.
Okay.
It's a Windows synchronization tool.
Oh, okay.
Free file sync.
Okay. I'll bet they use rsync.
I'm not sure exactly what they use, but it does more pipes than you set up during copy or rcopy.
Oh yeah. And it's new.
But you can get the, I create a log using output to text, which is what I used to do, but now I've been adding the T, doing the T log so that I can watch it
mm-hmm.
in the command box, as well as get the text of it for documentation purposes that it ran, that I can show back to the superiors that go, well, did it run?
Yeah. Var log syslog is similar, but the timestamp on it isn't seconds since boot, it's actual time.
Timestamp.
Or it's a thing to check, it may be configured so that it does the Greenwich Mean Time or Zulu time, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You should know that before you run it.
Most of my systems.
None of this is right. It's all off by 5 hours.
All on TMT, but yeah, I'm setting up the time.
Yeah.
Local time, the time difference.
Yeah. But yeah, this is scripting 101 and find where it broke.
Okay.
And the sweep 15 was just so that I had time to get back to the console and see it start.
No, just learning that they're really, I don't have to open the terminal anymore to do it. Control Alt F1.
My other machine, I have it boot just to a console because usually that's all I need.
Yeah.
I use Minicom a lot. I do serial stuff, of serial stuff. And Minicom works perfectly well at a console. And if I need graphics, I do start X.
Since Novell, I've gotten away from using just the command line, except where it makes it easier in Windows.
Yeah.
Windows is my bread and butter.
I am, every time I have ever had to deal with Microsoft, the first thing they do is bring up a console.
Yeah, CMD. I remember creating network connections between servers and stuff in Novell. Then I just run these commands.
Yeah.
And I had as a team leader, and I had these kids behind me, like, what'd you do?
You can still do that.
What's that text box you have? They've never seen a computer before.
Yeah.
GUI.
So one of the things I do a lot is networking in a big environment. And I NMC a lot.
Yeah.
Network manager, command line interface, and MCLI, take this interface down, bond these two interfaces, bring the bond up, apply this IP address to it. Sometimes I have a Windows laptop. I use it to connect to my Linux box.
And then you run Linux.
And I run Xterm across three monitors. So that I have a comfortable interface.
Is your Windows box another Evolve?
It could be. No.
No, I meant, is it?
No.
For you?
No. Oh, okay. I don't own a Windows box personally.
Well, I thought you work provided
a Windows box for me, and it is definitely not an Evolve. It's a 13th gen i7.
It's a nice one. Yeah.
Hardware-wise, is it nice?
Yes, the physical hardware is lovely.
Yeah.
It has Windows 11 on it now.
I understand that the worst thing about that box is Windows.
Yeah.
I get it.
I will give this. We run Windows 11 Enterprise instead of Pro. So we do have good control over what runs and what doesn't run. And I've left that box running 2 weeks before without any issues. Never hit 3 weeks yet. There's always been some update that needs a reboot, but that's okay. I got enough boxes on the network that are at 1,000 days, 1,200 days. I feel okay.
But they're not Windows.
You got to let them stop app somewhere.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a reason NASA does not put Windows in satellites they send into space.
Well,
turn it off and back on again.
Yeah, just push the button.
I think the most interesting thing about the cloud strike is that it didn't really affect China.
Well, they wouldn't use American security stuff either. Anyway.
What company
about? Yeah.
The updates are held.
And
they have their own operators.
They didn't affect any of my phones.
The only Windows box I got is Windows 7.
Technically, I don't feel like I should be blaming Microsoft for the CrowdStrike thing, but they run through Microsoft's BitTorrent servers and through their updates, mm-hmm. and they're a subcontractor, and so I still blame Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft has done a nice PR job of diverting the, keeping MS's name clean.
Weren't they quick on saying it wasn't us?
Yeah.
The thing I came across is one guy was saying that requires a manual restart of every single computer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Using a Windows key, like a USB drive.
Yeah.
Yes. And so you can't just say massive update. No.
Well, it depends on your environment.
Yeah.
We could have at work because most of our Windows boxes, other than laptops, are VMs.
Mm-hmm.
And on VMs, they publish pretty quickly. Here's a script to fix this.
The VMs are not a hard box.
Mm-hmm. Mike, we got to go. It's noon. I appreciate that you were able to join us. Wish you'd send something.
I wish I was there because I got a cough as I stay home.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye. See you guys next time.